You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is a Locker Room production.
All right, everyone, and welcome to Locked On Pirates. I'm, of course, your host, Ethan Smith, who does the most, except not right now because I'm a little under the weather today. So we are on the Locker Room app. Come in and join, of course, on Locker Room. Locker Room, of course, is the app that is changing the way we talk sports. And that is also the sponsor of today's episode. And as far as the Pittsburgh Pirates go, of course, the Pirates will be taking on the Milwaukee Brewers here in a three-game series after losing three in a row to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Not the greatest series that they could have saw, but they definitely remained competitive for the most part. Yesterday's game, of course, only being played over eight innings, a 6-3 loss for the Pittsburgh Pirates in that one because of the rain delay. So now on a four-game losing streak after the three straight wins and Key Brian Hayes' return. And we've seen a full week now of Key Brian Hayes back now. And, of course, he had the home run ball that was called back because of the missing the first base bag. We saw that this week. But going into the weekend, I mean, you have to be at least a little optimistic here with the idea that, I mean, you look at where the team still sits. Adam Frazier, of course, 329, building his trade value by the day. They were the YouTube game of the day yesterday, and they kept bringing up the New York Yankees as being a very possible option for Adam Frazier to be one of the guys there. And we have another Ethan who has joined the room. What's going on, man? How are you? But I mean, again, you look at Key Brian Hayes across these last 7 days, he's played in six games, 25 at bats, four runs, eight hits, three RBIs, one home run. So he's definitely come back. I do think he can threaten to win the NL Rookie of the Year still, and at least the Rookie of the Month. And then, I mean, you look at his projections right now, of course, they're a little lower than what you would expect. But for the most part, I mean, they're projecting him to have about five home runs right now, which obviously I think that number will be a lot higher. And on, like, realistically, on most trajectories, of course, the Pirates go into this series 11 and a half games back of the division. So now really their goal is basically just play series to series, do what you have to do. And realistically, going into the series against the Milwaukee Brewers, for example, the Brewers are a pretty interesting team to look at just because they've had their ups, they've had their downs, but we all know that the Brewers, of course, have some very, very good pitching. And they are, of course, first in the NL Central at the moment. It seems like every other week there's a different team leading this division. They're not hitting the baseball particularly well. Esvio Garcia right now has the best batting average on the team in technicality with a .246 average. Colton Wong, who was one of their bigger offseason pickups, of course, has played well, .280 average, but he's only played in 44 games. And, I mean, realistically, again, their thing is their pitching is just insane. Brandon Woodruff, of course, is going to probably be an all-star. We see him tonight, I believe. I mean, he's 4-2, 10 quality starts out of 12 starts. That's really solid for him. Below 1.5 ERA, and then it doesn't stop there either. I mean, Freddie Peralta has six quality starts. Corbin Burns, seven quality starts for him. Even Adrian Hauser and Brett Anderson have two and one quality starts. Even Eric Lauer added to that quality starts mark for the Milwaukee Brewers. So, I mean, the Pirates have already beaten this team before in a series, in a large part because both of these teams have just fabulous bullpens. I mean, you look at the bullpens for both of these teams. They feature guys like a Josh Hader and a Devin Williams for the Brewers, who, of course, are better-known players. Brad Boxberger has been pretty good out of the bullpen as well. Drew Rasmussen has been really good. Eric Yardley. They've seen a lot of good guys in that bullpen, but also the Pirates, again, not many household names. But, I mean, David Bednar came in the game yesterday against the Dodgers and just looked absolutely ridiculous with his stuff. Can't be mad at him for that. And, I mean, you also look at their strikeout rate as well, and their strikeout rate is crazy. They have, I believe, let's count here. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys who have at least pitched more than 10 innings and have a higher, like, than 10 K per nine. And that's pretty insane. And they don't really walk people either. Most of their WARs are positive as well. Whip-wise, very good numbers there for them also. So, of course, I think for the Brewers going into the series against the Pirates, you have to pretty much look at it in terms of a measuring stick for what the Pirates are going to be able to do here. But also for the Brewers, I mean, you're getting Brandon Woodruff, Corbin Burnes, and Adrian Hauser against Chase DeJong, Chad Kuhl, and JT Brubaker. All those games should be pretty fun matchups. Of course, they play tonight at 8:10 Eastern time. But honestly, I mean, for the Brewers, this is one of those series where you want to win, keep pace in the division, make sure that things are going good for yourself, pitch well, obviously, against a Pirates team that, yes, has pop at the top of the lineup, but not a ton elsewhere. And realistically as well, I mean, the Pirates, of course, should just play this rest of this year pretty much on a like trajectory of let's go series to series, learn more. And if you also want to read some fun stuff, go check out Bucks in the Basement, where they said, of course, the Pirates have answered some questions this year, but they still have plenty of questions to answer. That's really where most of it is. And I mean, of course, the Pirates' minds now, we're in the middle of June. The team's not going to make the playoffs, obviously. They're still in a pretty massive rebuild. But you've seen some pluses. I mean, you have a plethora of bullpen arms. You have a plethora of young pitching talent in the farm. Realistically, that number one pick is going to be very, very, very important to what happens in this rebuild. Of course, right now, Marcelo Meyer is kind of the consensus number one. Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker are also still up there. Jordan Lawler, another young shortstop, is also still there as well. You know, it's very interesting. I mean, of course, they're very popular. Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter, I think they're more well-known names just because they're both college arms. The three shortstops, meanwhile, are all high school players. So, I mean, it's really an interesting choice for them, because if you want to, you either go get the polished college arm and throw them in there, or you let the rest of the arms in the system grow, which is what I think they're going to do, is they're going to let the rest of the arms in the system grow more than you would think. And for me, the Pirates have to figure out, okay, well, if we do draft Marcelo Meyer or Jordan Lawler or whoever, what happens to Leover Piguero, and what happens to O'Neill Cruz? What happens even to Nick Gonzalez? But sometimes there's such athleticism in terms of who's there, who you want to get, and it's really going to make things easy for you if you have an athletic guy there that's just going to really make sure that things happen. Now, one guy that I have brought up a couple of times, and CBS Sports actually talked about it today, the draft is only about a month away. And then, of course, you keep hearing Jack Leiter, Kumar Rocker, Marcelo Meyer, Jordan Lawler, etc. But you also have to see the five largest bonus pools going into this draft, and the Pirates have the largest bonus pool going into the draft at $14 million and $394,000, which is good for them. And then the Tigers, who are in the Rangers, are pretty close behind. And Tigers and the Rangers, of course, hold the number two and the number three picks. But Henry Davis, and I've been calling him Austin Davis on the podcast, so I do apologize. He's not really, of course, like the most like crazy prospect in the world. But if you look at what the Pirates have behind it, say a Jacob Stallings in the farm, it's not a lot. And I know most draft picks are not made in terms of what your depth is now. Things can change. But I mean, the Pirates really need to take a long look at Henry Davis. His slot value is $8 million. He's already at Louisville. He's done a very good job. And also, he's targeted high upside guys. So when you look at Davis here, he's obviously a high upside guy. Of course, some people have tried to compare him to Adley Rutschman from the Baltimore Orioles. He's not really there, but he has a very, very powerful right-handed swing. He's a very good defensive guy as well. He actually, to me, sometimes pairs comparisons to, say, a Jacob Stallings. And, you know, a few months ago, I would have told you, no, there's no way that Davis gets drafted number one. It's so rare that you see catchers go number one. But now, I mean, you look at what he's done through 50 games at Louisville, a 370, 482, 663 slash line with 15 home runs. So he's checked every box that you would want from a catcher. It's just, do the Pirates really want to go catcher here rather than going with the athletic shortstop in Marcelo Meyer? It's a very interesting question. And of course, here at Locked On Pirates, we're going to be talking about the draft a lot. When you're rebuilding, it's one of the bigger things. Of course, Locked On Rangers, Locked On Tigers, even Locked On Red Sox, they have a very high pick in this draft as well. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the draft really plays out. But to me personally, one of the givens I would at least give here, if the Pirates don't draft Jordan Lawler, I definitely think he's going number two to Texas. I mean, he's already a Texas prospect. He's already pretty much the guy there for the Rangers. I think they really do want him. And I mean, again, Adam Frazier just really, like, I keep seeing it every day about who he could get traded to. And honestly, we'll see. But I mean, the top candidates right now, I think, for most parts of getting traded, of course, are going to probably be like Trevor Story, obviously, is going to be there. We all had that scary thing, or not scary thing, but that like interesting dilemma whenever he left the game randomly and didn't like come back on the field or anything. And it was like in the middle of a game and some people thought he got traded. But I do think the Rockies are going to try to trade him because you have to at least get something for him rather than letting him just walk. And the other part of this as well, and what's going on, Jeff, how are you? The other part of this as well is, you know, really any team could use an Adam Frazier right now. Like it's like the Pirates having an Adam Frazier is probably the best thing ever. And also we are joined by the wonderful Jeff Snyder of, I believe, Locked On Dodgers. How are you doing, Jeff? Or did I get that right?
I'm good. How you doing?
Oh, nope, no, you are got the host that of Locked On Dodgers. Okay, cool. I was making sure. Very fun series between the two teams, this series, actually. I was very impressed with us for how competitive we were against the gauntlet of pitching that the Dodgers have. And as I was just talking about before, I mean, I was just talking about, like, any team could really use an Adam Frazier right now with the way the batting averages are down. And I keep hearing the Yankees again. And I just want to see if the Yankees actually pull the trigger to trade for a Pittsburgh Pirates player twice in the matter of 6 or 7 months after what Jameson Taillon really hasn't been able to do in New York.
Yeah, you know, there's a – sorry, you there?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, yeah, there are a lot of teams that could use Adam Frazier. And the Yankees do seem to make sense. I don't know. I was really impressed with the Pirates this week. I've actually watched more Pirates games than some teams just for some reason. It's when I'm flipping around, you know, partly because Pirates already played the Padres, and so I'm always interested in what happens in the Padres games and the Giants games. And I've actually – I'm surprised that the Pirates are struggling like they are just because there's a lot of good players on that team. And maybe it's just a depth thing. Maybe it's just putting it all together. But, you know, the Pirates are better than I thought they would be based on preseason projections and even their current record.
Yeah, and a large part of that also goes into the Key Brian Hayes injury, I would think, because, I mean, you've noticed, obviously, over the past 7 days, yeah, we've lost four straight games, but we won three straight as soon as he came back. Like, he made an instant impact both offensively and defensively. And also, Locked On Pirates family, we now have the two rivals of the two best teams in baseball, in my opinion, in the same room, Javier Reyes of Locked On Padres and Jeff Snyder of Locked On Dodgers.
What's going on, man?
Should get interesting.
We also have the two best podcast hosts in baseball here, too. And then Javi's here, too.
Oh, wow.
Hey, look, Jeff, save it. We still got a week or so until the series. Come on, man.
And I was also talking about it before both you guys got here. I can't believe the draft is a month away. That's going to be where a lot of my content comes from. And I also found out today that the Pirates actually have the most bonus pool money going into this draft. So that may affect what they do. But I really like Marcelo Meyer a lot. I think that's who that's really who I think they get. And the idea of a Key Brian Hayes, Marcelo Meyer, Nick Gonzalez, Mason Martin infield is just amazing to me. But it's still up in the air. And as you guys can tell, probably from my voice too, as I mentioned to my listeners earlier, I'm not feeling the greatest today. So have a chance to come on the episode. I'm always on Locker Room all the time. You can come talk to me, Jeff, Javi, all the time. Anything going on in baseball for you guys that's like on your mind?
Man, I don't know, man. Not too much right now. Big Mets series upcoming this weekend. But in general, I mean, unfortunately, the talk around baseball has been the whole sticky stuff situation, right? Like, just every pitcher in the league. You have Cole being the poster boy for it. It's really sad. I hate when the biggest baseball stories are not just players playing well or teams being bad. Instead, it's just like, oh, here's what, you know, Tony La Russa said. And, oh, the pitcher's cheap. You know, like, it's unfortunate when that becomes the dominating headlines of the sport. I guess that's just... That says a lot about where we are, you know?
Well, yeah. I guess I'll, like, beat this joke with a dead horse. But, I mean, like, baseball's in a sticky situation again.
It's almost as if there's maybe a lack of quality leadership at the top of the organization. I know that's a hot take, but I suspect that the guy who became commissioner simply because he was a good attorney, maybe that wasn't quite enough job qualification to actually be good at being commissioner.
Yes.
No way. We love
the Rob Manfred slander here at Locked On Pirates. We love the Bob Nutting slander. Lately, by the way, and this is something I don't think people have noticed, but almost anytime something bad happens to the Pirates, Pat McAfee lately has just been ripping Bob Nutting apart. I guess it's just because the Penguins aren't in the playoffs and the Steelers aren't doing anything right now, really, since it's like the middle of the offseason and there's nothing going on. But like, Pat McAfee has absolutely been like ripping this man apart. And I'm just like, wow, like, maybe this will like open his eyes to something. Like, I don't know what's going on.
It's tough, man.
Yeah, ownership issues can be rough because, I mean, I was a Dodger fan during the Frank McCourt days, and before that, the Rupert Murdoch days. So, you know, I've seen that, and it's different for the Pirates, obviously, because the Pirates, there's no excuse with the Dodgers. You know, like, you're in one of the biggest markets in baseball. The Pirates, at least, you know, have the excuse of being in a small market, but, you know, I just, that stadium, to not be able to fill up that stadium, it's like, it's almost like a crime, because that's one of the best stadiums of baseball. And, you know, and I guess the same could be said for Javi's stadium a couple of years ago, you know, one of the best stadiums in baseball and not even filling up. But I think the Padres are maybe a good example of what Bob Nutting ought to be doing. And who knows, you will have to see how sustainable this is for the Padres to pay every free agent a zillion dollars. But, you know, it's at least kind of showing when you've got a great stadium and you try to put a winning product on the field, fans get excited, fans show up, and seems like it's at least worth a try.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously for the Pirates, I think it's one of those things that, like, next year, of course, you'll start to see steps forward, because a lot of the prospects will be like, not a lot of them, but a good number of them will start coming up. Like, you'll see the Travis Swaggerty's and the O'Neill Cruises and stuff like that. And then by 2023, I think that's when you're really going to see the Ben Cherington, Bob Nutting relationship, because I feel like Charrington's going to want to spend money. It's just going to be, is Bob Nutting going to stop him from spending that money? That's really the biggest question here. And I don't bring it up too often on my podcast, but I think I want to a lot more just because, I mean, you look at Key Brian Hayes, this kid's a stud. There's nothing to say otherwise at the moment. I mean, he's like ranked in the top 10 all time in OPS in his first like 46 games or something like that. Like he's up there with like Willie McCovey and like all these really great players. And if you can fit the right things around him, I mean, it's going to be insane to think like if you have a player like a Key Brian Hayes, is this just going to be an Andrew McCutchen situation again where you have this one great player, a decent supporting cast, but then you don't ever throw anything into it? That's really where I'm at with it.
Yeah, I really hope not. Key Brian Hayes, he's so fun to watch. That play that got kind of lost in the shuffle yesterday because it was right before, I think, the batter before the game was called. That's like a Nolan Arenado kind of play down the line at third base. And, I mean, from everything we're seeing from Hayes, he's like Arenado-level defender and you know, maybe even, you know, a different kind of hitter than Arenado. I don't know if he'll have quite as much home run power as Arenado, but he's got obviously plenty of power, plenty of extra base power, and just seems to be a great hitter. So it's like, yeah, you would really hope that's the kind of guy that you would be able to put some talent around, especially knowing, well, we don't have to pay Hayes for a few years, so maybe we can spend a little money on his supporting cast.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm at with it too. And then, I mean, I talked about this on my podcast yesterday in comparison to your two teams right now and how that division is going. You have the Giants, the Dodgers, and the Padres right now, pretty much all three with the best records in the National League outside of maybe the Mets. But the Mets, of course, are still missing those couple games from the beginning of the year. The NL West has the potential to be like the NL Central was in 2015, where the Cardinals won 100 games, the Pirates won 98, and the Cubs won 97. And because of baseball's flawed playoff format, the Dodgers, Padres, or Giants are going to play each other in a wild card game for all intents and purposes, while the Mets and the Cubs just do whatever. And then the winner of that division is likely going to have to play the winner of that wild card game. And two of the three best teams in the National League are going to be out of it before you even get to the NLCS.
Yeah, it's just one of those situations, you know, and the Giants have been like a huge surprise for a lot of people, but. And I do think to a degree they're definitely going to calm down. I'm just not buying that they're going to be like the best team in baseball. But they're definitely good. They have all these weird, weird players that they just take chances on. Some old vets that nobody wants that they think are going to regress in a positive way. Like just be at least average for us. You got the Desclafani's. Even I think he's still hurt right now. But like Aaron Sanchez guys and obviously Gausman who, wow. I wonder how the Orioles fans are doing right now. I mean, good God. He was there for like 7 years, and immediately after leaving, he becomes, dare I say, like, let me think here. No, who are the other free agents? He might be at least one of the top five at minimum free agents now heading into 2022. Like, that's kind of crazy. Like, I don't think many people would have thought that, especially after a really rocky tenure in Baltimore, you know, so I'm curious to see what happens.
And imagine they could have both him and they could have Kevin Gausman and John Means in the same rotation right now.
Imagine.
That's crazy. The Pirates could also have Garrett Cole, Jameson Taillon, and Tyler Glasnow as the top three, but we're not going to get into that too much.
Yeah. What's going on, Mavs draft?
Oh, yeah, we got a bunch of people.
That's my dude.
Yeah, well, on an off note, Locked On Pirates Nation, my Clippers are down 2-0 again. So we're in the same boat we were in about 2.5 weeks ago.
Hey, man, I live in Utah, so I'm loving that. I mean, to the extent that I care about basketball. Yeah,
I mean, it is what it is. But I mean, the Cubs game. Yeah, the Cubs and the Cardinals are also playing right now. So that's a pretty fun game for the NL Central on purposes, which this division, by the way, I'm so happy in a way that we're not competing, because if we were a competitive team in this division, this whole division would just be like a mind F word. Like it would literally just, it would not work. Like the Cubs are 35 and 27. Milwaukee, who the Pirates play this weekend, is 35-27. Cardinals only 3 games back. Reds only 5 games back. I mean, imagine if the Pirates were slightly competitive in this division. Like, the leader in this division changes, like, every week.
Yeah, and it's hard on a team like the Cubs that came into the season thinking, okay, we'll trade Chris Bryant, we'll rebuild a little bit without totally rebuilding, but, you know, and now they're in the hunt for the division, so they're not going to be able to trade Chris Bryant, but it's doubtful that a wild card team comes from the Central. And so you've got a lot of teams that are in a position where it's like, well, we can't really justify selling at this point because we're in shouting distance of the division lead, but you know, there's not any sort of fallback plan. The Dodgers and Padres, like, they're both going to the postseason, you know, and obviously, like you talked about, the playoff structure sucks and they're going to have to face each other early, but they're both going. But a team like the Cubs, they're like, well, do we really trade Chris Bryant when we're in second place, or do we have to hold on to him? And it's kind of like what happened with the Giants a couple of years ago with Madison Bumgarner. They got just good enough to trick themselves into thinking they were contending, so they didn't fully sell. And then, of course, they fell off. And, you know, for that matter, the same thing's happening with the Giants this year. Like, you know, the plan, I think, going into the season was to trade Kevin Gausman at the trade deadline. And, you know, and so basically they've got a month and a half to either prove that they're legit or fall off the cliff enough that they can still go with that plan. And it seems like more likely they're going to be around that, you know, still contending. I don't think they'll be in first place by then, but they'll still be in a wild card position or close to a wild card position. And it'll be like, well, can we really trade Kevin Gausman right now? And yeah, it's a tricky situation for a lot of teams when there's when you're this close to first place, but you kind of want to rebuild.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, a team that to me is kind of like that as well at the current moment, and it's not a team that a lot of people really are paying attention to right now, but the Seattle Mariners. They're only 2 games under 500, but they're also only 6 games out of their division and 5 games out of the wild card. They string a couple wins together, and Oakland and Houston maybe have like a losing streak in there. Seattle goes from being a seller to a buyer in a matter of weeks. Like, that's the crazy thing about baseball, is even in June, you really don't know if you're a seller or a buyer yet. Even at the All-Star break, things can fluctuate so quickly to the point where you can be a buyer and you can be a seller immediately. That's one of the better things about being a rebuilding team like the Pirates right now, or the Diamondbacks or the Rockies or whatever, is you know you're going to be selling at the deadline, and you know there's going to be teams that are going to want to buy at the deadline.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. It's weird. I know Mitch Haniger is absolutely going crazy for them, and I know Jared Kelenic just got set back that and have the best start, so therefore he is obviously a bust, very clearly, obviously a bust. But yeah, and we just, I know we just talked about the Cubs, but the Cubs, it's so weird because I think they have to, part of me is wondering if they just have to sell just because because they want another starting pitcher right now. That's what everyone's talking about. But you gave up one of those starting pitchers. So if you traded like what you got for that starting pitcher, like if you hold on, I'm not making any sense. If you trade for, not that I ever make sense, but like if you trade for another starting pitcher now, you're giving up probably farm system depth. The point of that offseason move for Yu Darvish was, so it's very, they're in a very weird situation, and clearly ownership did, at least it feels like they did not expect to be this good. Yeah. I at least knew that their best players would be this good. I don't know why people didn't think that Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo would bounce back. Like there was no evidence to suggest that they were just done. You know, this isn't Albert Pent. You know, I don't want to take an unnecessary shot at Jeff because, you know, it's not even a shot at Jeff either. It just, I don't know why. I mean, the Dodgers, well, you know what I will say about just in general, it feels like we don't have the truly dominating team right now. I mean, I guess you could say just based off record, yeah, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, teams like that. But there's just this feeling of, and I'm sure those teams are going to be great. Like, I know they'll be great, but a true like juggernaut, I don't feel like we've had that so far this year because the Dodgers just have so many injuries to literally everyone. I don't know who isn't hurt on that team right now. They just, the only good, they just got Tony Gonsolin back, I guess, which is kind of nice. But it's just been this really beat up team. But hey, they're standing pat, I guess. But yeah, it's been very weird for a lot of injuries in baseball. On top of that, and the Red Sox, and thing about the Red Sox is, like, are we really buying that, like, Nate Eovaldi and Nick Pavetta are going to just be fine, and that it's just pitching doesn't matter apparently for the Red Sox right now? So I don't know entirely, but yeah, a lot of teams are in very interesting positions.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at where, like, the playoffs would stand right now in terms of matchups, and some of these matchups are actually really freaking cool. I mean, like, Tampa Bay would play the winner of Boston and Houston in a wild card game. The White Sox would play the Athletics in the first round, which would be fun. Mm-hmm. The Giants would play the winner of the Dodgers and Padres wild card game. And the Cubs in Milwaukee would have to play a game 163 to see who goes to the postseason, who goes home, to then go play the Mets. So, I mean, like, and then, I mean, you look at it too, the Cubs, of course, are a game out of the wild card stuff, but they still lead the division. It's just a very interesting, this is why I love covering baseball now. Like, now that we're all getting the opportunity to do it, is this is arguably the best time to cover baseball, because from June to July is where obviously moves are made. Teams either take off or fall off. I mean, it's just really where it's at. And also, I know Pirates fam knows I will be in Pittsburgh next week to go to the Pirates-Indians game on Saturday. And speaking of that division, too, I mean, the Indians have been a surprise for the most part after trading away Lindor. I don't think many people would have told you before the season started that the Twins would be 12 games under 500 and the Indians would be 5 games over 500 going into this year. Like, yeah, no way.
It's kind of crazy that the Indians, you look at the players the Indians have traded in the last several years.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about Gerrit Cole and Tyler Glasnow. Well, I mean, the Indians are talking about Corey Kluber and Trevor Bauer and Mike Clevenger. You know, obviously two of those guys are currently injured, but the talent that they've traded, and yet they still contend every year. And part of that is the division they're in. But, you know, I mean, the Twins and White Sox are both supposed to be really good this year. Obviously, the White Sox have had injuries. But, I don't understand how the Indians continue to do what they're doing. And it doesn't seem sustainable, but it hasn't seemed sustainable for several years, and yet it keeps getting sustained.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, It works differently for other teams. I mean, another team you have to look at in terms of the weirdness factor of trading a player away and then doing crazy things is the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, they trade away Willy Adames, who's one of the better shortstops in baseball, and then they win 15 out of 16 games.
Yeah.
It's like now they're in first place in the AL East.
And then part of me, if I'm an Indians fan, it's like all we've done seemingly every offseason is lose players, but we're still pretty good every year. Like, imagine if we kept some of those, like the Lindors, the Carlos Santanas, and you guys just mentioned, you know, Trevor. I mean, in fairness, Bauer wasn't quite like this for sure thing when they traded him. It didn't feel like, say, a Lindor, like superstar, right? Like, easy. And then Clevenger, at least at the very minimum, very, very good and a talented pitcher, even if he does end up getting hurt. Like, you have to wonder if you're an Indians fan, you're like, what the heck? Why is the only thing our team does is stay competitive, but we just lose players every year for whatever reason? And that's really unfortunate. I imagine that goes up to ownership as well. I feel for the Indians fans as well, just because it's just, come on, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Good. Do better. But we'll see what happens.
And it's even funnier to me because, like, well, not funnier because we don't always like hearing about injuries and stuff, but Framil Reyes has been arguably their best bat that they've had in their 5 games over 500. Like, it's like, wow. What's up? What's up, fellow sad boy, Mr. Bryce Patrick of Locked On Rangers?
Oh, you know, I'm just watching some Vanderbilt baseball and also some who's this day game that's on right now? Cardinals, Cubs.
Yep, Cardinals and Cubs.
Yeah, fun stuff going on. Kumar Rocker in this game, but he was pretty good. He was pretty solid. I'm also editing my episodes the last 3 weeks I've done gotten. Something's gotten away from me on Thursday, or there's been like a like an off day on Thursday, and I just like have had nothing to talk about, and I've had a guest or something for Friday, and so I just have my regular guest that we just talked with this afternoon. And so, of course, again, I'm doing two Friday episodes, which, you know, they will love because they hate when we miss Friday episodes.
Oh yeah.
What are you going to watch tonight, Bryce?
I'm going to watch the Rangers be just ass kicked.
Oh yeah. We do have some people in the room as well. Any questions about anything in baseball would be much appreciated. And of course we will all like answer them and all that stuff. As you again can hear that the wonderful host of Locked On Pirates, Ethan Smith, who does the most, is doing the most at being sick at the moment. So this is fabulous.
Oh, hey, Matt's drafts in here. What up? What up, my guy?
Oh yeah. All this fun stuff. But I will probably wrap this room up in about 10 minutes or so, because I still have to go to work tonight as well, which is fun. Have to serve tables and be like, hey guys, what's up? I'm feeling great. Go Pirates. Oh no, we're not leaving yet. We'll leave in like 10 minutes. Don't worry.
We're not freaking leaving.
But honestly as well, I always tell my listeners too about like, or I'll just transfer the room over. But well, I don't know. Does the recording still send to me if I leave and transfer the room over?
I don't know. Did you say it was recorded before? I think you should be good.
Yeah.
But
either way.
I mean, I'm about to hop off, but yeah.
Yeah. Say howdy.
Anything else going on in the world of sports that the wonderful hosts of Locked On, the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, have to say anything right now?
I don't want to talk about the Texas Rangers, so Euros are happening.
Yes, that is. That actually starts in a couple minutes at the time of recording, gentlemen.
I'm glad the Mavericks lost.
I hate you.
I'm very happy about that. Great result.
Hate you a lot.
Full support. Hey, it's Ethan's locker room, Bryce. Oh, I want to be nice.
That's fair.
Come on. It was a great comeback win. Shout out Kawhi Leonard. And Terrence Mann, who seems scared sometimes to play basketball.
By the way, when Hobby
Chris Paul, who I'm going to be emotional about if they make the finals. So that's all I have to say.
When Hobby does leave this room, Locked On Pirates family, he's going to Cancun with LeBron James.
That's exactly right. Yes. All right. Take care, man.
Oh yeah. Thank you. Mav Draft tells Bryce to get a Locked On tag. Yes, of course, listeners. Whenever
we're working on that.
Oh, yeah. Whenever you guys come on to Locker Room with me and all of these wonderful hosts, we all have kind of like a little Locked On symbol so you know that it's us, not an impersonator. I'm honestly surprised that hasn't happened yet on this app, by the way, everyone listening, that we don't see like a Ethan Smith or a Jeff Snyder or a Bryce Burner, like where it's just like a random person. Oh,
I can only speak for myself, but I can't imagine somebody pretending to be me. It's hard enough really being me. I don't understand why anybody would want to pretend to do that. So maybe Ethan and Bryce, you're more tempting that way. But yeah, I feel like pretty much a downgrade to pretend to be me, no matter who you are.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there is another Ethan in this room, but we don't share the same last name. So
there you go.
Back to baseball, though. So what's going on in baseball today? What's going on? What we got going on in baseball today? Any intriguing matchups that you guys are all interested in going into this weekend?
Yes, tonight on MLB Network, we got Thor versus Blake Snell, and more importantly, Syndergaard versus Tatis. That's going to be just loads of fun. The last matchup didn't provide as many fireworks as I wanted. Also, if you want something just like absolutely disgusting to look at, go onto Baseball Savant and look at the numbers for Jacob DeGrom. They're just filthy. They're just straight up filthy.
Yeah. And I mean, Baseball Savant, a lot of my listeners have noticed that I love using that website because it's just amazing.
Same.
So you can figure out pretty much anything you want on there. And something very interesting, by the way, that I noticed is the Los Angeles Dodgers just played the Pirates and now they play the Rangers. Like, did MLB, like, whenever they scheduled this, did they just say, hey, well, let's just give the Dodgers basically like a 7-day break? Like, what's like, what in the world? And then they play Philly after that, and then they play Arizona. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's
conspiracy.
You know, yeah, I don't mind it, but, you know, since they all play, I mean, the Padres already played the Pirates earlier and lost a couple of those games, right?
Yes.
So, you know, the Padres spoiled their break that they got.
And the Pirates, of course, are going to be the reason why a team doesn't make the playoffs. I can see it now. And I'm going to be able to give the biggest troll job on the planet.
You know, you gave me something to look forward to. You know, the Rangers are going to be good. But, you know, we might ruin things for somebody else.
Which would be, again, legendary. Adolis Garcia hits a home run against the Houston Astros in the final game of the season to knock them out of the postseason.
The Rangers made the Astros under 500 for the regular season last year with a sweep at the very final series. That's fun.
That's what you love to see.
They still made the playoffs, which sucked, and they went far in the playoffs, which double sucked. But they were under 500 for the regular season, so suck it.
Oh, yeah. Any last Major League Baseball topics, opinions, thoughts?
I saw a thing today that the Pirates – or no, sorry, the Rangers – have lost 13 straight road games, and yet they somehow don't even have the longest active road losing streak in baseball right now, because the Diamondbacks have lost like 800 in a row or something. So
the Rangers are at 15. They're going on 16 tonight. I think they can do it. You know, and okay. If they didn't have that one win, the last win against San Francisco in their home, their very short home series finale, they had an active 13-game interleague losing streak, which is tied for the longest in baseball history. Which before that game, do you know who the Rangers' last interleague win was against?
The New York Giants.
No, it was against your beloved Dodgers. It was in 2020, and Jake McGee was the losing pitcher in. Yes, for 2 years ago's game and in that game. So,
one pitch, McGee.
Oh, yeah. Well, everyone, thank you for coming in today and helping me out while I am under the weather as I go into the 90 degree abyss that we call Georgia and Savannah. Locked on Pirates fam, I obviously love all of you. Thank you for listening to this wonderful locker room. I hope you all also jump on here sometime so we can all talk about Pirates baseball and baseball in general. And also you have the chance to be on these episodes because this is an episode today. And of course I will be back on Monday, hopefully feeling better. I will be on my way to Pittsburgh, I think, Monday as well. So that episode will probably come out a little earlier than usual. And I hope you all have a fabulous weekend, and I will see you on the flip.
Hey, feel better. Take care.